كريم كريم شهر عظيم عظيم عظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماؤه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتحدون، الذي لا يدركه بعد الحمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا والشفيع ذنوبنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم وأحلل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين صاحب العصر والزمان خليفة الرحمن إمام الإنس والجان، ولعن الله وعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. The life and lessons of Nabi Sulaiman عليه الصلاة والسلام has been an ongoing topic. Tonight is our 12th discussion on this topic. So previously in our discussion last night, now we reached a very crucial point in the story, where now, you know, these two, you know, the king and the queen now, right? King Sulaiman and Queen Bilqis now kind of exchange things back and forth now to kind of, you know, see where the other one is, right? King Sulaiman, you know, he sent this letter to her, and this noble letter to her, basically telling her to, you know what, stop what you're doing and come and submit to me here. Then she in turn tries to, quote unquote, test him, essentially try to bribe him, if you ask me. Not that he asked me, but that's what the seer says. And he rejects that completely. So now the messengers that had brought the gifts of from Queen Bilqis to Nabi Sulaiman were sent back with the same gifts that they brought and said that I reject those gifts. And now he understands, Nabi Sulaiman, that she has no choice but to come to his kingdom and surrender. Okay? Surrender. So he knows that this is what's going to happen. Now, I left you last night at the end of the lecture by saying that this is the stage now where he does something very unique. Nabi Sulaiman does. It's kind of a little bit out of the ordinary, and you know, you would think that, you know, like right now you're going through this sort of exchange back and forth with another kingdom in Yemen, you know, where is this coming from? But now that he waits now for this entourage of Queen Bilqis now to come, sorry, my throat's dry, for Queen Bilqis now to come, because mind you, she's coming from Yemen and he's right now in Palestine. That's about a 1400 mile trip, okay? So it'll take her some time to get there. He gathers all the chiefs, all his entourage, everyone's in one room now. He addresses them, tells them about the exchange of the letters and the gifts, and tells them that this entourage, this kingdom in Yemen right now, that Hudud had discovered, is on its way to basically surrender to us. And then he asked them a very peculiar question. Come to the Quran now, verse number 38. Okay, we are reaching now the end. We're going to end at verse number 44 in this discussion. We're slowly but surely reaching that. I have four discussions plus the Jashan. So, you know, we have to now get to this conclusion. Because the arrival of Queen Bilqis into the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman, to me, is one of the most beautiful moments in the Quran. I'm not there yet, though. And you know me, I like to stretch it out and really kind of make you guys suffer through the story a little bit. So, now he says, which one of you here Again, a very odd question, right? Which one of you here can bring me the throne of Bilqis before she arrives here? Which one of you can bring me the throne of Bilqis from Yemen to Palestine before she arrives here? I'll explain why he asked that in a moment. The Quran says that the first person to put their hand up was a demon of a jinn. It said, by the time that you could get up from your seat, I'll bring that throne to you right beside you. By the time you can stand up from where you're sitting right now, I'll bring that over. Nabi Sulaiman says, anybody else? Who else? Anybody else can challenge this? And then Asif ibn Barkhiya, remember him? Asif ibn Barkhiya, the last time we saw him, he was the one that penned the letter to Queen Bilqis. I mentioned then that he plays a very crucial role, and this is where he plays that role. He says to Nabi Sulaiman that I will bring you the throne of Bilqis before you can blink an eye. And before his eyes could blink, Nabi Sulaiman's, the throne was right beside him. Right away now, Nabi Sulaiman sees his throne. Everyone is in awe, couldn't believe it. And he begins now to praise his Lord. This is from the grace of my Lord, he says. Talks about gratitude and gratefulness, etc., etc. And we'll get into those verses in a moment. The question is, what was this exercise about? And how is it possible that someone like Asif ibn Barkhiya could bring that throne 1,400 miles in a blink of an eye? Is it possible? This is a prophet of God now. So there's wisdom behind everything that he does. Right? So first of all, he wanted to now, you know, prep the arrival of Queen Bilqis. Can you imagine now the look on her face? If she was to enter the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman and see her own throne lying there in their kingdom. Imagine that moment for any queen, for any king, right? Their throne is their identity, right? Their throne is their power. That's their symbol of power, is their throne. The way that the Quran describes Fir'aun's throne on the day where, you know, Nabi Musa's serpent devoured the other snakes, was it was made of rubies and diamonds, and he was also draped in jewels and gold, and, you know, I mean, it was a throne of thrones. He sat on there like a man who's about to conquer the day. But that was the day that he was the beginning of the end for him. So this was the throne of Bilqis now. Nabi Sulaiman wanted to now, again, prove to her, show to her through the miracle. This was a miracle, of course. Through the miracle that I'm no ordinary king. You take the name of God that I gave you in my letter. You take my denial of gifts. And you take the throne of yours in my kingdom. And you understand that I am to be submitted to. Meaning my path, the path of God, is to be submitted to. Number one. Number two, he was also preparing the grounds, Nabi Sulaiman, for his successor. Asif ibn Barkhiya was his successor. And just like his own father, Nabi Dawud, way long ago, guys, 12 nights ago, woo, eons ago, 12 nights ago, I told you that in that judgment, in that moment of the farmer and the shepherd, remember that judgment call? He asked a very young, Nabi Dawud did now, the father of Nabi Sulaiman, asked his son, Sulaiman, come to the court. I want you to rule on this case. He must have been 10 or 11 years old, a very, very young Sulaiman. And people must be wondering, what is the king and the judge doing, asking his, you know, pre-adolescent child to come and rule and judge on a very important case? I mean, this was a precedent being sent here between the farmers and the shepherds. But what was he doing back then? If you remember what we said, Nabi Dawud was prepping his people to get ready for his successor. Long before he was actually made a successor, years later he was actually, you know, the heir apparent of the throne. This was no different. Nabi Sulaiman was showing this Asif ibn Barkhiya is something special. My student, my right-hand man, and then she my successor. I have to mention this in brackets, if you don't mind. You know, it's incredible how sometimes the Muslim world can accept the fact that Ghadir was only a day of a khutbah of Rasulullah of four and a half hours. It was not the day of the announcement of the holy of the successorship of the Holy Prophet. That wasn't a explicit announcement, some say. It was implied, or perhaps it was up for interpretation. When in reality, every prophet before him, including Nabi Sulaiman, before the Prophet of Allah, would prep their people for their successor before they actually made the successor. Everyone did. The Prophet of Allah being the seal of the Prophet, Ulul Azam Prophet, higher in level of all the other prophets, he would leave his ummah without one successor? Is that possible? That Ghadir was only the official announcement, otherwise time and time again throughout his 23 years, multiple times he would indicate, he would announce that this is my wasi, my khalifa, my wazir, my successor, the imam after me. Nabi Sulaiman was prepping his people. Now the question is, how is it possible? How could a man bring, you know, an object 1,400 miles across? Now, by the way, if somebody was to ask, if somebody was to be told, let's say 50 years ago, 50, not very long ago, 50 years ago, okay? 50 years ago is about, what, 1971. That's not too long ago. A lot of you are that age. A lot of you are a little bit older. If we were told back then in the 70s, that what would happen in the east of the world would be on our fingertips within seconds, in the west, they wouldn't believe us. Sometimes it would take 24 hours for the news to come over to the west. Nowadays, social media now, literally at the blink of an eye, news travels globally from east to west, west to east, north to south. Not a big deal. In fact, before the local news, I checked my Twitter feed to find out the verdict of this case, or the score from this game, or, I don't know, the COVID count from this country. On top of that, in the verse now that I'll dissect in a moment, Nabi Sulaiman is showing the what? The capacity of the human being. Allah, please understand me, guys. The nights of Qadr are coming, man. The nights of Qadr are coming. Literally within a week away. And we think the night of Qadr is just a long list, a checklist of a'mal. 2 rakat salat, astaghfirullah, you know, bika ya Allah, ziyarat Imam Hussein, joshna kabir. Okay, check, 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 check. Let's end by 2:45. That's what we think the whole, no, the night of Qadr is made a night of Qadr to show you the human being, to show me the human being, what our capacity is. It's possible that in one night of Amal, you could do enough Amal to last a lifetime. Laylatul Qadr khayrul min alfi shahr. Better than 1,000 months. 83 years is a calculation, right? That's a lifetime. Better than that. Khayro, better than that. Meaning that you have the capacity, human being, you've always had the capacity to be able now to do one night of worship, to be able now to really tread the path for your entire life. The night of Qadr is the night of the human being. The night of the capacity and the potential of the human being. What Nabi Sulaiman was showing in this small exercise, albeit very important, was not only his successor, the power of the knowledge of the book. This was a khas, specific, special student of Nabi Sulaiman, Asif ibn Barqiyah, where now that knowledge was not something that jinn learned on the streets. You can sit there and, you know, you can play the flute and the snake will come out. That's not a big deal. That happens today. That those are all things that are learned, right? And he might think, oh, by the time you stand up, it'll be here. Forget that. By the time you blink an eye, it'll be here. Meaning it's a kun fayakun system. Be and it is. That's not just made for God. God says, if you tread my path in the deepest, deepest portion, I will give you that power. Such that when the imam of our time comes, you know, they say this, the hadith says this. Oh, this is so beautiful. Such hope in this hadith. That the levels of knowledge in this universe are 27. Okay, it's a random number, 27. of which right now, today, right now, in 2021, in April of 2021, the human being and everything that we've conquered, Elon Musk has put a car in space. We've touched the moon. We have smartphones, blah blah, blah, the whole nine. We have reached a level of 2 of those 27 levels of knowledge. Two. Okay, 2. The Imam will come and complete the remainder of the 25. Can you fathom for a moment what life will be like under the Imam of our time? Well, things that are impossible today will be very normal and and common in that era. Okay? It's a matter of what? The same human being. We're not robots, right? It's not a new creation. It's all within us. It's the expansion and the fulfillment of our potential. This was a moment that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to show, look, this is what the human being can do if they need it. We have ulama who could travel the earth within seconds in our lifetime. Now, that's a different story of Irfan, and I don't want to go down there, but I'm saying the potential is there. So Nabi Sulaiman did this for several reasons. It wasn't just about Queen Bilqis. This was about telling the people, look, this is a man, this is my student, who has knowledge of the book. And the result of that is that with the blink of an eye, this is. And this is what? From the fadl and the grace of my Lord. Now let's come to the Quran, inshallah. Okay. Verse number 38, please follow along with me. Surah 27, verse number 38. Okay? These are beautiful verses of the Quran. This is the month of the Quran. Let's open up the Quran. Follow along with me. Do your app, whatever you need to do. Follow along. 27:38, verse 38 of the 27th chapter of the Quran. This is now where Allah, Nabi Sulaiman says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qala ya ayyuhal mala'u. O my chiefs, my entourage, my people. Right? Ayyukum ya'atini bi'arshiha. Which of you can bring to me her throne? قَبْلَ أَن يَأْتُنِي مُسْلِمِينَ. Before she comes and submits to me, which of you can come? Bring me, right? Her what? Her arsh. بِعَرْشِهَا. Ha, of course, is her arsh, her throne. How many of you can do that? And then the very next verse is the jinn, this demon, right? He stands up and says, قَالَ إِفْرِتِي مِنَ الْجِنِّ. Right? From one of the, one of the evil, the demon jinns, he stands up. He says, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. I will bring it to you before you rise up. تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. From where you are, from your maqam, from where you're sitting. Right? وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ عَمِينٌ. I have strength, I can do it. I can be trusted in this matter. I have the strength. Trust me. He's very bold, very confident. And then, when Nabi Sulaiman is asking, anybody else? Floor's open. That's when verse number 40 comes about. Very important verse. Verse number 40 of Surah An-Naml. قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Does that mention his name? Now some say, some tafsir say, oh, it was Jibreel, this was Sulaiman, this was somebody else. But, our mu'tabar, our sahih, our accepted tradition from Bahar al-Anwar and others say that this is Asif ibn Barqiyah. The ulama now, they've done a lot of research. This is Asif ibn Barqiyah, who now stands up and says, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. I will bring it to you in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye. By the time you blink the eye, the throne will be here. At that moment then, he blinks the eye and the throne is there right beside him. فَلَمَّا رَاءُ مُسْتَقَرٍ عِنْدَهُ. He saw it where? The Quran says right beside him. Right beside him. عِنْدَهُ. Right beside him, right close to him. All of a sudden now, the throne appears. Imagine now for a moment, everyone's in awe. It's a miracle. In front of you now, a miracle emoji is there. If I had time, I would talk about why the prophets need to show miracles. It wasn't, quickly. The miracles weren't meant to ooh and awe the crowd. The miracles, all the miracles, be it Musa's staff or Nabi Isa bringing the dead back to life or, other ones. No. The Prophet of Allah's numerous miracles weren't meant for the believers, understand for a moment, they were meant to quiet the deniers. This was the final straw for Queen Bilqis. We'll find out tomorrow night exactly, you know, when she walked into someone else's palace and sees her own throne sitting there. At that moment, what do you do? What do you say? What possible response could you... Do you have anything now to combat this king who's done this act now? On your way from Yemen to Palestine, this guy's picked up your throne and brought it here. Were there planes back then? Were there high-speed cars back then? No. Was there Amazon Prime back then? No Amazon Prime back then. No? 24 hours? No. And the miracle of the prophets is only from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not the things that you see in the streets of India, Pakistan, where people now can sit there and, you know, no, those are taught. Those are taught. Incredible. A man approaches Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, one of the most beautiful traits about our fifth and sixth Imam, just as a side note, it's related though, is the fact that they were approachable human beings, meaning that they had opened up this university, right? 4,000 students of all walks of life coming at their door, asking them questions to challenge them, to ridicule them, and of course to know. They say an atheist walked, the atheist approached Imam Muhammad Baqir, an atheist, in a very mocking way says, I am a creator, just like the creator you believe in. Okay? What do you create? I create worms. Worms. Okay? Let's create worms. He brings a little bit of garbage. He places some moisture around the garbage. And worms appear. You go, see? I just created worms. Now, the approachability, right? Of our fifth Imam. He says to the guy, very impressive. Tell me which one of these are female and which one of these are male. You're the creator. Command them as the creator to travel in one direction. Right now, worms go here or there. So these two questions now stumped the individual. It says, you might be able to do this, but the level by what we're talking about is something else. They might be able to sit there and play the flute, right? And have the snake come out of the basket and wow the people on the street. But this is the miracle from God. That's why the moment that Nabi Sulaiman sees it, قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي This is from the grace of my Lord. From my Rabb. Rabb is a beautiful, endearing term, guys. I wish we understood what Rabb is and what Allah's Rububiyat is. It's beautiful. This is from my Lord. Then he goes on to say that that same Lord who may try me, whether I am grateful or ungrateful. And whoever is grateful, he is grateful only for his own soul, his own soul. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ If you're ungrateful, fine. My Lord is غَنِي and كَرِيمٌ He's needless, doesn't need you. If you're ungrateful, that's your bad. I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we think that, you know, my worship and my service towards Islam is doing God a favor. Imam Qadhim alayhi salatu wasalam has a beautiful hadith. He says, the highest level of the narcissist, the ego, you know, the egotistical, the guy who loves himself, the highest level is when he reaches that level where he actually believes that his worship is what? Is doing God a favor. So now, the throne of Bilqis is inside the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman. What happens next? Bilqis arrives. Right? Bilqis arrives. And before that, however, in verse number 41, what does he do? You know, it's amazing, this idea of gratitude and gratefulness. You know, I have a little bit of time. I want to spend some time on that. You know, in this pandemic, it's been a lot of mental health issues. I find it amazing that at this stage in the story now, Nabi Sulaiman is now reminding himself and, of course, those who are listening to him about the power of gratitude. Why? Why at this stage in the story now? Because he's about to defeat and bring to their knees a very powerful kingdom in Yemen. And he wants, first of all, himself, right? That's why he says, right? He says, you know, Rabbi liyabluwani. He'll test me. Didn't say you or us. Said me. Right? He'll test me to see, am I grateful or not? Am I grateful, right? Ashkuru am akfuru. Am I thankful or am I ungrateful? Here, kufr is used in muqabil, in opposite of shukr. Right? So when things start to go, you know, when things start to go our way sometimes in life, we don't stop and, you know, we kind of get complacent in our worship, don't we? It's only when there's a crack in the sidewalk, there's a tragedy, a hardship, we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's reminding us through the story of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and this specific moment now where he's about to bring down this kingdom of Saba and Sheba and Yamin, that look, that's great, but understand this is from the fadl of Allah. Don't forget the main cause. Yes, you're a wasila, all that for sure, but the main cause is God himself. It's important for us to extract that lesson from our life. That if things go your way, you end up having the life that you want, you know, it's even better than you imagine, you're living a very poor sukun, a very serene life, all these things are there, stop for a moment and be grateful to Allah, especially in this month of Ramadan. It's a month of gratitude, right? A month of thankfulness. So I found it interesting that he said, look, I'm not immune to God's test. Forget you and I. The prophet of God here is not immune to the test. But understand, grateful or ungrateful, it all affects you directly. If you're grateful, he'll give you more. In shakartum la'azidannakum. Very open verse. If you are thankful towards me, I'll give you more. If you're ungrateful, know that you're not affecting God. God is ghani, right? Ya ayyuhan nas. Look at this beautiful verse in the Quran, guys. Antum fuqara'u ilallah. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. O mankind, you are someone who is constantly in need. Fuqara is different from faqir. Faqir, as you know, if you know a little bit Urdu and Farsi, means a beggar, faqir, a miskeen. But fuqara is one who's always in need. A constant state of needfulness is a fuqara. Okay? You are the one who is, meaning mankind, you'll always be in need of God. And God, wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. He's needless. Just in case you think, oh, okay, you know what? Maybe by my measly worship, I might, you know, elevate the kingdom of God. No, wait a second now. Doesn't work like that. He's azal, he's abad. He was always there, he'll always be there. Everything we do or don't do affects us directly. I thought that was very important to point out. Verse number 40 of Surah An-Naml. Verse number 41 now, he says, now take this throne and change it, alter it, disguise it. Let's see if she's able to recognize her own throne. Let her be blown away by it. Because eventually now, as a spoiler alert for tomorrow night, Nabi Salman will ask her, do you recognize the throne? Look at the throne. Let that throw it there. Do you recognize it? Of course she does. That's her throne. That's her. If there's anything that's near and dear to a king and a queen, it's their throne. You can spot your own throne a mile away. So now the last verse of tonight, verse number 41. Qala, right? Nakiru laha. Alter it. Change it. Right? Add a little bit to it. Don't change the whole complexion, but just add a little bit to it to the point where it's not so obvious that this is the exact replica of the throne. Right? Qala nakiru laha arshaha. So change her arsh. Right? Let's see for her. We will see, he says. Tanzur. Atahdadi am takunu min alladhina la yahtadun. We will see whether she follows the right way or is of those who does not go aright. Meaning that Nabi Sulaiman understands for a moment the impact that this throne will have on her. Let's see what her reaction will be. When she walks into the kingdom and she sees that throne, what's going to be her reaction? Will she deny it and will she kind of go astray? Or will she at that moment understand and submit and be guided properly? So now the throne of Bilqis is inside the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman. Everything is ready. The throne's been altered. Everything is ready to go. And who's at the door of the kingdom? Bilqis. She's arrived. She's arrived at the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman after that long journey from Yemen to Palestine. There she is in her entourage, face to face now. Nabi Sulaiman and Queen Bilqis for the first time now. The door opens, and what happens next? You know it. I'll tell you tomorrow night, inshallah. Stay safe, stay well. Don't hate me. We'll see you tomorrow night. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.